God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Beginning today and continuing through Friday, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino will be discussing the United States in Prophecy. In the year 2000, Brother Hutchings wrote a book entitled U.S. in Prophecy. The book has recently been reprinted, and given the state the world is in today, we think it's a good time to revisit this subject. Those of you who don't already have the book will certainly want a copy, and I'll tell you how to get it later in the broadcast. Brother Hutchings, tell us about the book.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. A few years ago, I wrote a book on this subject. Dr. Frank Logsdon, we used what he had written on this subject in about the first 100 pages. The book is about 240 pages in length, and in this book, I think we dealt with a very relevant subject. And as we look at the Word of God in light of the Scriptures, as we see the world today, and look at our own country, we're probably the most influential nation in the world, certainly since the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1989. I really think it would not be relevant if the United States was not mentioned in the Word of God, because I believe we're living here in the last days, and here the most powerful nation in the world is not mentioned. Certainly by name, but we believe there are many references in Scripture where the United States is referred to, and we're just going to search the Word of God and find out if our country is mentioned in Scripture and what the Bible has to say about our future. Dr. Logsdon was pastor of the Moody Bible Church of Chicago. And he did a lot of work back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I think he was called home to be with the Lord in 1978. And he wrote a book on United States in Prophecy, and we disseminated thousands of copies of it. Not long ago, we thought we would offer it again, but Zondervan had terminated publication of the book. It was out of stock, but they said, if you want it, you can have it. So we included Dr. Logsdon's work in this book that we published. And by the way, it was out of stock, my book was. And just this past month, we had a new printing of it. And this is why Dr. Spargimino and I, at least one reason, that we are going to do this brief series on it. Dr. Spargimino, in studying Scriptures, you believe there are some references, possibly, to our own nation in the prophetic word.
Well, I certainly do, Dr. Hutchings, and I think, you know, when we look at what the prophetic word says about the downfall of Babylon, we certainly know there was a historical Babylon, 539 B.C., it fell. But there are many aspects of those prophecies that we find in the Hebrew Scriptures that just don't fit historic Babylon, and yet, as we're going to show our listeners in a short while, they really do fit the United States. So that's why Dr. Logsdon and others believe that when the Bible is speaking about the downfall of Babylon in the future, that there's another reference here, and I'm inclined to certainly agree that there's lots of information in the prophetic Scriptures that would lead us to that conclusion.
To begin with, we're going to look at the 7th chapter of Daniel on the broadcast today. The 7th chapter of Daniel, the prophet sees four great beasts arise out of the sea. These beasts, as we will read here, were the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the terrible beast, certainly would be the beast that will bring forth the Antichrist during the tribulation. Now, the traditional understanding of this particular chapter in Daniel is that these beasts refer to the empires in succession of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then goes to the end of the age to the empire of Antichrist during the tribulation. But we read in the explanation of this chapter in verse 17, these great beasts, which are four, or four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. So Daniel was living in the time of the Babylonian Empire, and very shortly the Medo-Persian Empire would appear. These empires were not present during the time of Daniel, because these are four empires that shall arise, and they are symbolized by beasts. Dr. Spargimeno, why are empires symbolized by beasts in Scripture?
When we speak about an empire, we speak about a geopolitical organization that has conquered a large portion of the region. And of course, it does that through war. And I think a beast is a fit emblem of that. A beast crushes, a beast destroys, a beast is unstoppable because of its weight and power. And I think that's a very fitting description of what we see here in Daniel 7.
Certainly, and that is true, because empires are historically symbolized by some animal. And in the book of Daniel, the prophet was concerned because his nation had been overrun or gobbled up by the Babylonian Empire. It was just one of those nations that Babylon had conquered. Babylon conquered everything from India over to Egypt, and that was a large chunk of the known world at that time, if not most of the known world. So Daniel was concerned about his own nation, his own people. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. Most of his people had either been killed or taken to Babylon into captivity. Certainly the most healthy ones and the most intelligent had been taken to Babylon. He had studied the Word of God, the books of Moses, and the promises of God. And so he would go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, when are you going to deliver my people? When are you going to fulfill your promises? And in his book of prophecies, he's given a series of visions concerning when that would happen. And here in Daniel 7, it is explained to him when that will happen in terms of four empires. And we believe that these empires are in the end of the age, not contemporary with Daniel, because when the last empire mentioned in this chapter comes on the scene, then it will be in the time of that last empire that God will fulfill his covenants to Israel. And we're going to begin by reading in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. The first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. So the four winds of heaven mean that God is involved here, I believe. These may be political forces that are blowing across the world, certainly at the end of the age. And we read about the winds that will be held back in the tribulation until those whom God calls are sealed in their forehead. But these four great beasts come up out of the sea one after another. And the sea is often described in the Bible, as we read in the book of Revelation, of the masses of people in the world, the nations with all their people, like a sea. And, of course, the Great Sea is also identified in Scripture as the Mediterranean Sea because it was an important sea, because it was there, of course, that the Roman Empire arose in that area and all the other empires, and also the nation of Israel. Much of its coastline, or all of its coastline, was adjacent to the Mediterranean Sea. And these four great beasts come up out of the sea, which could be relevant to the Mediterranean Sea, or it simply could mean the people of the world or the nations of the world. And we continue on. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, the first animal that Daniel sees, which is representative of an empire that will rise up, and as we said, we believe it is in the end of the age, because as we read in verse 17, it says, these are empires which shall arise. So evidently these empires were not in evidence at the time of Daniel. Dr. Spargerman, what about this lion? Do we see an empire in history that corresponds with the lion?
I think we certainly do, Dr. Hutchings, and that would refer to the British Empire. It has been said so many times, and of course it's not true today, but just a few years in the past, that the sun never sets on the British Empire. So if you're on the North American continent or in Australia or some of the South Pacific Islands, the sun is always shining. And I think that is most significant. And also, the next statement, it had eagle's wings. We think of what country or nation is closely related to the lion or to Great Britain. Of course, that's the United States of America, which, by the way, is what we're speaking about in these programs.
Certainly, and you can go to the dictionary or encyclopedia and look up the word lion, and you will see a large animal of the cat family, a predator. And you will also read that lion, a symbol of the British Empire. So the lion was a symbol of the British Empire. And here we see the wings are plucked off of eagle. Well, the eagle is the emblem of the United States. And everywhere you see an emblem of the United States, you see the eagle's with its wings spread, those large wings. The wings were plucked off of the lion. That's where the United States came from Great Britain. In the Revolutionary War, we won our independence from Great Britain. Now we read that after the wings are plucked off, this lion stands upon its feet and becomes a man. And we have to remember that the British Empire, after World War II, gave up nearly all of its colonies. You take Egypt, used to be a colony of Great Britain. That was after World War I. Israel, the land of Israel. Jordan, India, Australia, Canada, this colony after colony. But after World War II, President Roosevelt and Stalin met with Churchill of Great Britain, and Roosevelt and Stalin told Churchill that the Roman or European colonial system was over, that the European nations had to give up their colonies. And, of course, Churchill protested that he had not fought the World War II, or England had not, to see the dissolution of the empire. But that's exactly what happened. He had no other choice because he was faced with both the United States and Russia. And so, one after one, the European nations gave up their colonies, including Great Britain. And there were only about 70 nations in the world after World War II. But then, as these colonists gained their independence today, I think they're over 200 nations. Where did they come from? They came from the European nations giving up their colonies, including Great Britain. So Great Britain was no more a predator. It was no more an empire. So it became a man, not a beast.
Brother Hutchings, before you look at the next verse, let me tell folks how to get the special gift offers we're making today. The 240-page book, U.S. in Prophecy, is available for a gift of $15. There's also a video, approximately 1 hour in length, on VHS or DVD for a gift of $15. It's entitled United States in Prophecy, a presentation by Brother Hutchings from the 18th chapter of Isaiah. If you want both the book and video, the gift amount is only $25, and you get them by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. I'll repeat this information at the end of the broadcast in case you missed any of it. Here again are Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry.
Dr. Spargimeno, would you read on the next verse?
Verse 5 says, "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh."
Now, what nation do we think of when we think of a bear today?
Well, it's interesting. I think everybody would agree that the bear is Russia. In fact, in literature and in music, I can think of some of the musical compositions where Russia is presented as a lumbering bear.
Certainly, and the bear is an emblem of Russia. And we see here that the bear has three ribs in its mouth. Well, of course, that has confused a lot of Bible scholars. But before 1989, before we saw the dissolution of Russia, there were three parts of Russia. There was Russia, Belorussia, and the Ukraine. In fact, Russia had three votes in the United Nations to our one because they were represented as three nations. And so this bear had three ribs in its mouth. But now, of course, it had to give up the ribs, or most, at least a couple of them. So the Soviet Union kind of split up after 1989. And it wasn't a powerful nation anymore. But these nations were important to Daniel, certainly in the end time scenario, because after World War I, England was in possession of his land, Israel. And then in the 1960s and 70s, we saw Russia becoming involved in the Middle East, and Russia armed Iraq, for example, and Egypt, and fostered those wars against Israel. And the Mediterranean Sea, Dr. Spargimeno, didn't Russia have a large presence there?
Yes, in fact, I remember the first time I went to the Middle East, I was in the so-called Bosporus, the area that separates the East from the West historically. And this was back in the early 80s. I was amazed at the presence of the Russian Navy sailing into the Mediterranean. So that's exactly correct.
We continue on. After this, I beheld, this is in verse 6, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. The leopard here that we see in this vision of Daniel, it's somewhat difficult to say which alliance of nations that is after Russia, but certainly it would be an alliance that has some presence in the Middle East. Do you have any idea who this leopard might represent?
Well, I've often thought that it could be a picture of the African nations. We know that nationalism is very strong in Africa, and of course we know that in Sudan they have really armed themselves. They're very anti-Christian and anti-Israel. And then, of course, some have said that the leopard has yellow and dark spots, and they said, well, maybe that's the Orient. But I think those are the two contenders that I've heard discussed by many prophetic scholars.
Certainly, and today we read about the large army that will come from the east. It may be a four-part alliance between the African nations and the Middle East. We see that taking place today. But then we go on and we see the terrible beast. That is the empire of Antichrist that will be composed of all these beasts. We read in verse 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Of course, here we're getting into the empire of Antichrist that will be composed of the nations represented by all these beasts. And we read over in Revelation that this beast, or the beast of Antichrist, will be part lion, or will have part bear, and have part leopard. But we don't read anything about eagle's wings in the Antichrist empire in Revelation 13. We don't know if that means the United States. There may not be a United States then. Or maybe the United States will try to be a separate entity from the beast empire. Brother Jerry is going to come now and tell you how you can get a copy of our book, The United States in Prophecy. And we also have a VHS or DVD on this subject that you might also want to get. Well, here now is Brother Jerry, and we'll be back with you on the next broadcast, and we will continue in our subject of the United States in Prophecy.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. This interesting series of programs is primarily based on Brother Hutchings' book, U.S. in Prophecy. A single copy of the newly released book, which contains Dr. Logsdon's Is the USA in Prophecy, will be sent in appreciation of your $15 gift to this ministry. That's also the gift amount for Brother Hutchings' informative video presentation on the topic. The video, United States in Prophecy, which is approximately an hour in length, is in either VHS or DVD and is also offered for a $15 contribution. Better yet, get the book and video together for a gift of $25. There'll be 5 programs in this series, and they're available on CD or cassette tape for an offering of $18. To order any or all these valuable information-packed materials, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. By the way, if you've not checked out the website lately, why not do that today? There's valuable prophetic information and gift offers. One of the new offerings to the web users is our Watchman on the Web project. For just $24 a year, you'll have access to printing many of our monthly publications, downloading programs to your iPod or computer, and much more. Check it out on the web or call 1-800-652-1144 between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., that's Central Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. It's time for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. Join us tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Some state legislatures and local school boards in America are considering the possibility of allowing public high schools to offer Bible courses in their curriculum. If this becomes a reality, it certainly will be a move in a direction government schools have not taken since the 1960s, when prayer was abolished from the classrooms. We're quoting now from FoxNews.com. This story was posted on the Internet May 12, 2006. Quote, "The long dormant idea of teaching public school students about the literary and historic importance of the Bible is getting a fresh look this year from state legislatures and local school boards, though with political bickering and questions about what should be included. The buzz results mostly from the Bible and its influence. A glossy high school textbook with substantial interfaith and academic endorsements. It's available for the coming school year, and some 800 high schools are currently considering the course. The publisher, the Bible Literacy Project, of Front Royal, Virginia, will issue a teacher's edition in June and is providing online teacher training through Oregon's Concordia University. The group expects no legal problems, but is promising school districts worried about lawsuits that Washington's Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty will supply attorneys without charge. Bible literacy isn't alone in the field. Its older rival, the National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public Schools of Greensboro, North Carolina, is backed by numerous conservative Protestant activists and says 36 new clients have adopted its program this year, compared with just a couple per month in 2005. Overall, the group says school districts in 37 states with 1,250 high schools use its curriculum. The National Council believes the Bible should be the students' only textbook. It offers teachers a course outline, the Bible in History and Literature, and a CD-ROM of the Bible Reader, a 1969 anthology of text and commentary. The outline follows the King James Version and recommends the conservative Protestant Ryrie Study Bible for further background." Close quotes. We are pleased to see that the proponents of the proposed teaching of the Bible as literature and history chose the King James Bible. Among the concerns about teaching Bible in the schools are which version would be used and who would be teaching it. The first question has been answered affirmatively. We wait for the other answer. But one thing we know for sure, God's Word is powerful, and the teaching of it can bring positive results. We read in Isaiah, quote, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Close quotes. That's from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And that's today's Bible in the News Report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published monthly in a booklet. If you'd like a copy, call, write, or visit our website. Please include $3 to cover shipping and handling. The number to call, 800-652-1144. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News Report or question and answer.